So, because we had a bit of a short episode this week, we're going to do a little bit of a live segment. If you've got stories about the truth that you would like to share, go ahead and call in. The number is 440-775-8139. Once again, that's 440-775-8139. I'm here in the studio with my friend Haley Larson, who is about to share a story.
Well, hey there. I've been introduced by the wonderful Harris, and I'm Haley. I have a rather short, fun story today about my experiences responding to children when they lie, or when they tell the truth about lying. Every summer, I work at a summer camp with usually 6 and 7 year old girls, and they are the best things you can imagine. They're cute and funny, and they say the darndest things. So usually about once a week, we'll go to a horse watering trough. It's an equestrian camp. So this water trough is rather small, and it's full of mountain water, which is freezing. It's the coldest water that you've ever felt. So sometimes you tell the kids, hey, if you want to get in the water trough, you can. And if you go all the way under and freeze to death, I'll bring you candy tomorrow. So this particular week, I had a very interesting child named Madeline. And she was the sassiest Southern belle you've ever met. So all the other girls decided they were going to go into the freezing water trough. Maddie refused. She said there was no way you were going to get her into that trough. No way. 10 minutes later, she was splashing away in the water trough with the other girls. Then she got out and stood next to me shivering and her teeth chattering. She looked at me and said, I'm never, ever, ever going back in that trough. That was so cold, I can't handle it. I just laughed and said, well, you don't have to go in if you don't want to, Maddie. She gave me her sassiest look and stomped away. Then I came back 10 minutes later. She was back in the water trough, splashing away, you know, gets back out, looks at me again. That water is so cold. I can't believe I went in there twice. And I said, Maddie, you know, you told me you weren't going to go back in. There was no way you could go back in. Once again, she looked at me. She gave me the look that kids often give adults when they think that you're absolutely crazy and that you obviously don't understand how the world works. And she said, very matter-of-factly, well, you know, sometimes I lie. And that moment has stuck in my head for years. That sometimes you lie just because it's the truth. That's it. We're going to move on to something else.
Story was from Haley Larson, Oberlin College class of 2014. Haley enjoys cooking, dancing, and cuddling. Next up, we're going to have a segment by Ada Hetko.
Harris, thank you so much for having me on the second page, this special edition live segment. I'm so glad to be here. First, I'd really love to read a poem for you. It's by Naomi Shihab Nye, one of my favorite poets ever, and it's called Truth Serum. We made it from the ground-up corn in the old back pasture, pinched a scent of night jasmine billowing off the fence, popped it right in. That frog song, wanting nothing but echo, we used that. Stirred it widely, noticed the clouds while stirring, called upon our ancient great aunts and their long, slow eyes of summer dropped in their names. added a mint leaf now and then to hearten the broth, added a note of cheer and worry. Orange butterfly between the claps of thunder? Perfect. And once we had it, had smelled and tasted the fragrant syrup, placing the pan on a back burner for keeping, the sorrow lifted in small ways. We boiled down the lies in another pan till they disappeared. We washed that pan. I think I love this poem because there are all these really, really tactile things put together with these really abstract things, like our ancient great aunts and their long, slow eyes of summer. I mean, you could go over to your great aunt and just like pluck out her eye in August and drop it into a bowl of, into a pot of hot water, but I don't think she'd like that very much. I think instead this poem is pulling in different feelings we get. The things that we really feel are true, more true than something you can hold in your hand. And I would really like to have a short interview segment with Harris Laparoff, our host. So Harris, how did you choose this theme of truth for this week?
Well, I mentioned this at the beginning of the segment, but my friend Amanda Lozada, who is someone who I do a lot of creative work with and who I ask her opinion on pretty much every creative project I'm doing, I told her when I first started doing this show that I wanted to collect only true personal stories. And she said to me, I don't really understand what this obsession in radio is with true stories, you know, and she said, you know, even... podcasts that we love, like This American Life and The Moth, they have this obsession with true stories, and she doesn't quite get that. And it got me thinking about it, and I thought, you know, truth is sort of interesting, because when I say true stories, I didn't really mean that I wanted stories that were strictly true. I just wanted them to, you know, sort of seem true enough to be able to build a connection and empathy between people. And you know, when I thought about it, truth didn't really seem totally necessary to do that. You know, a lot of great things can come out of fiction. So I thought we'd explore that for an episode.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that my brother used to say. He has like these like catchphrases he uses. Like he'll say the same thing constantly for like a couple months. And one of those a couple of years ago was untrue fact. Like, if you were saying something and you're, like, obviously lying, he wouldn't be like, you're lying, and be like, Ada, that's an untrue fact. And soon after that, it was like, assumption is the devil, which sounds, like, really super religious and intense, but it kind of didn't mean anything. Well, what do you think you've learned in this process of gathering stories about truth?
What do I think I've learned? Well, I thought that Jen's story was really interesting for me, actually, because I've actually been subject to Jen's lies before. We were once sitting around in Keep's living room, and she started telling me about how much of a stoner she was, and about this tremendously vivid shrooms trip that she had gone on. And the funny thing was, I knew Jen already. I was already friends with her. And at first I was like, no, you're kidding. You don't do that. And then she just kept going. And I was like, well, maybe she does. She's being so adamant about it. And by the end of her story, I was completely taken in by all of her details. And then finally she revealed to me that she had been lying all along. But I think it's interesting because I have sort of this obsession with honesty. You know, I myself try to be honest at all times. But that was really interesting for me because I didn't feel offended that she had lied to me. It had been like a game, and it's like she says in her story, you know, truth, lying doesn't have to hurt people. It can be fun. And that was a sort of fun interaction, And I've thought about that.
I took a Myers-Briggs test recently. One of the things it said is whether you value honesty even though it's going to hurt people. And I definitely answered that I value honesty even when it's going to hurt people, or objective criticism is always useful. But I've found recently that I've hurt a couple of people without realizing it. And I guess I could make a public confession. I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes I regret honesty. I wonder if I would regret having lied, because it would go against like my personality or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, so like that's actually something that I've thought a lot about. And you know, I mean, I do like trying to be honest, but I don't like hurting people. And most of the time, I do believe that there is a way that you can find. It's not always easy, but that there's always a way to be both kind and honest. But also, I've thought a lot about how you don't want to make your honesty a burden on other people. You know, there's a time for honesty, and there's a time to, you know, if what you're going to say is just going to weigh on the other person's mind and not be productive, you know, I think that that might be a time for restraint.
Yeah, Miss Manners agrees with you. According to Miss Manners, if you're engaged to somebody and you decide you don't want to marry them, you have to give them less of an explanation than if you were going to cancel a dinner plan. What do you think about that? What's the morality there?
Well, that's actually funny, because I was thinking about telling a story on this show about breaking up with someone and not exactly telling them the truth about why I was breaking up with them, because I, you know, thought it would hurt them too much. But I didn't end up telling that story because, you know, I decided not to put my personal life so much out there. But it's interesting. It's something that I've definitely struggled with, and I'm not sure that I did the right thing there.
Yeah, there's this radio station in Cleveland that actually has like a whole hour of confessions. I forget what it's called, but it's really, really awesome. They just have like this soul music in the background, and this amazing, amazing DJ reads this list of like, you know, like, baby, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Like, I'll never do that again. From, you know, your cuddle muffin or whatever. It's like for a whole hour. And it's not like people are calling in. There's a certain, I think one of the things that makes it hard to tell true stories is on the radio, or the thing that's really exciting about true stories at the radio, the thing that's like edgy and like pushes people about it, is that it's putting it in your voice. If you're just writing a fictional story or something, there's a certain distance between you and the truth. But if it's like your voice, it's like that's bottled, like you bearing your soul. But like this radio show gives a little bit of distance, because she gets people to call in and writes this list and then reads it out herself. So it's a little bit like proposing to somebody at the Super Bowl or something. Like you put it up on a big screen, it's like, you know, it's like you know, more official because it's through another channel, but it's also like a little easier because you don't have to actually drop down on your knee and be like, you know, you want to marry me, or come back to me, I'm sorry, I'll never hurt you again, you know. And also it's tempered by this background music of like, ooh, you know, it's wonderful. I think that should happen a little bit more often, although I'd like to like follow up with people and see how it's affected their lives. You know, if it actually, you know, brought them back together, or, you know, kept sisters from fighting or whatever. So tell us more about the theme for next week.
So the theme for next week is names, which is sort of a general theme, but I was thinking about, you know, all of us have stories for how we got our names, for what our names mean. I have, you know, some friends with some really good stories about how they couldn't remember some of their friends' names for the longest time. You know, and a lot of us have named our stuffed animals or our dolls. Otta has a particularly creepy collection of dolls, although I'm not sure if they have names.
Oh, they all do. They all do.
And I think there are some really interesting stories about names, like maybe Otta's story about the names of her dolls.
Yeah, I remember all of the names. Like, I can't remember what I have to do tomorrow. Or what I did yesterday, but I remember every name of my dolls. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been really lovely.
Thanks for interviewing me on my own show.
That was your wonderful host, Harris Laparov. Thank you for listening to The Second Page. This is WOBC 91.5 FM, Oberlin College and Community Radio.
Glad you did that so I didn't have to.
I didn't want to take your honor away. You're just another toy to me, discarded prey. And I didn't want to hear you crying today. But everything is what it is.
Thanks to Otta Hetko for interviewing me and reading a poem. Otta Hetko, Oberlin College Class of 2013, is an artist. Don't tell her mother. That's it for The Second Page, our first ever live segment. This is my first time ever doing radio live. It's scary. It's amazing. Thanks for listening. Once again, we may not be on WOBC next week, but we will be on the internet. The show is currently in review to be listed in iTunes podcast directory. But as always, you can always find it at makesomethingeveryday.com/secondpage. Once again, that's makesomethingeveryday.com/secondpage. You can listen to all the episodes there and you can submit stories for next week. The theme is names. Thanks for listening.